Armstead turned to look back. Solid line behind him. God bless them, coming on. Not so bad now, is it? We'll do it. With God's help. Coming they are, to a man. All good men here. He turned back to the front. Garnet's men were nearing the road. He could see old Dick, still there on the great black horse. And then the first storm of musketry. A line of skirmishers. He winced. Could not see, but knew. Long line of men in blue, lined, waiting, their sights set, waiting. And now the first line of gray is near, clear, nearer, unmissable. An officer screams. If they're soldiers at all, they cannot miss. And they're Hancock's men. Armstead saw a visible waver pass through the ranks in front of him. Close it up! Close it up! The line seemed to have drifted slightly to the left. Heavy roll of musket fire now. The march slowing. He saw Garnet move down, thought for a moment, but no. He was moving down into that one swale, the protected area Pickett had spoken of. Armstead halted the men. Stood incredibly still in the open field with the artillery coming down like hail, great bloody hail. To the left, 200 yards away, Pettigrew's men were slowing. Some of the men in front had stopped to fire. No point in that. Too soon, too soon. Pickett's left oblique began. The whole line shifted left, moving to join with Pettigrew's flank to close the gap. It was beautifully done, superbly done, under fire, in the face of the enemy. Armstead felt enormous pride, his chest filled and stuffed with a furious love. He peered left, could not see Trimble. But they were closing in, the great mass converging. Now he moved up, and he could see the clump of trees, the one tree like an umbrella, Lee's objective. And then it was gone in smoke. Garnet's boys had reached the road. They were slowing, taking down rails. Musket fire was beginning to reach them. The great noise increased, beating of wings in the air. More dead men. A long, neat line of dead like a shattered fence. And now the canister, oh God, he shuddered. Millions of metal balls whirring through the air like startled quail, murderous quail. And now, for the first time, there was screaming. Very bad sounds to hear. He began to move past wounded, struggling to the rear, men falling out to help. Heard the sergeants ordering the men back into line. Saw gray faces as he passed, eyes sick with fear. But the line moved on. Dress it up! Close it up! He looked back for a moment and walked backward up the long rise, looking backward at his line coming steadily, slowly, heads down as if into the wind. Then he turned back to face the front. To the right, the line was breaking. He saw the line falter, the men beginning to clump together, massed fire from there. In the smoke, he could see a blue line. Kemper's boys were shifting this way, slowing. Armstead was closing in. He saw a horse coming down through the smoke. Kemper, riding. Because Garnet rode. Still alive, even on the horse. But there was blood on his shoulder, blood on his face. His arm hung limp. He had no sword. He rode to Armstead, face streaked and gray, screaming something Armstead could not hear. Then came up closer and turned, waving the bloody arm. Got to come up! Come up! Help me! In God's name! They're flanking me! They're coming down on the right and firing right into us! The line's breaking! We've got to have help! Armstead yelled encouragement. Kemper tried to explain. They could not hear each other. A shell blew very close on the far side of the horse, and Armstead, partially shielded, saw black fragments rush by, saw Kemper nearly fall. He grabbed Kemper's hand, screaming, I'll double time! Kemper said, come quick, for God's sake! And reined the horse up and turned back to the right. And beyond him, Armstead saw a long blue line, Union boys out in the open, kneeling and firing from the right. And beyond that violent light of rows of cannon, and another flight of canister passed over. Kemper's men had stopped to fire, were drifting left. Too much smoke to see. Armstead turned, called his aides, took off the old black felt, and put it on the tip of his sword and raised it high in the air. He called for double time, double time. The cry went down the line. The men began to run. He saw the line waver, ragged now, long legs beginning to eat up the ground, shorter legs falling behind, gaps appearing, men actually seeming to disappear, just to vanish out of the line, leaving a stunned vacancy. And the line slowly closing again. Close it up, close it up! Beginning to ripple and fold, but still a line, still moving forward in the smoke and the beating noise.